Welcome to the Contending for the Word podcast, a podcast devoted to helping inform, educate, equip, and warn people about false teachers, false movements, and unbiblical philosophies. Now join our host for today's episode and enjoy.
We have almost 3,000 people on. Everybody just click share. Just click share. Share it. If you don't like it, go delete it off your page later. Definitely test this word. Take it to the Bible. Everything that I'm going to say today, I have been in prayer about. Everything that I'm going to say to you today has come directly from the Holy Spirit. And I have wept over this. Do you hear what I'm saying? Oh, I feel the presence of God now. And I feel like the word is, it is not just for 2024, but very strongly will we see this begin to happen, but even more so going into 2025 even. So I want you all to please heed the word of the Lord and just ask the Lord to just begin to allow the Holy Spirit to speak in your heart. Ask the Lord right now. Everybody type in, God, give me understanding. Father, I ask you, Lord, speak to me in Jesus' name. Usually I have class. And we go Tuesday night with just the core group. But the Lord said, speak to all the people. Those that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Those of you that are on here and your intercessors, why don't you type in the comments, I'm praying over this broadcast. And I'm going to start. I will be looking down a little bit because I have lots of notes, as you can see. This says the return of the fear of the Lord. And I have tons and tons of notes. I would ask if there is a scribe, like somebody that is a part of the core group that has that scribe anointing. Please be prepared to possibly put some of these things, to writing. That way I can reshare them with people that want to, you know, hold on to this word. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, Father, that you are going to speak through me. Father, I pray that you would not allow me to say anything that you have not ordained for me to say. And I thank you, God, that your people would hear, thus saith the Lord tonight. Thus saith the Lord tonight. And from that, they will be transformed and changed by your glory. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's get right to it.
Hey, y'all. Thank you for joining me today on this special addition to the YouTube channel for the Lovesick Scribe. I wanted to cover one more prophetic word that was sent to me recently by a sister in Christ, and she had asked if I had seen this yet, which I had not, but after watching it, spending time watching it, combing through it, I wanted to address it. And so I hope that you will find this helpful, and I want to issue a plea to those that are following this individual and to this individual herself. And this is Jenny Weaver. Jenny Weaver released a prophetic word recently for 2024. And I want to talk about it and share some clips with you. It was about an hour and a half long. And there are some things in there, too, obviously, that I would want to address, that I would want to ask questions to her for clarification. But the biggest thing I want to address are two things. And there's one I'm going to reiterate at the end again. And then the main bulk of the teaching, the well, no pun intended, but the core of the teaching, as she oversees the core group, that she taught based on 1 Samuel 2. And so I want to jump right into this and talk about it because there are some things in here that, as I mentioned in the previous video I did and some of the podcast episodes that I do, there were things that were alarming. And especially in this one, she's giving a warning. She makes it very clear in this video that she is giving a warning to the church.
This message is a message to the church. I repeat, this message is a message to the church.
And to leaders, to apostles, prophets, lay people, parents.
This message is a message to leaders, pastors, prophets, apostles, any type of leadership. This message is for parents. This message is for worship leaders, elders, deacons, bishops, greeters, ushers, hospitality teams. This message is for the evangelists. This message is to the older folks and the young people. And anyone who says that they are a Christ follower.
So this is a prophetic word that's supposed to be meant for the body of Christ. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into this because I have quite a bit of notes to tackle. There's some things I'm going to summarize along the way. If you have a desire to watch this video, it's on her Facebook worship ministry page called Jenny Weaver Worships. If you want to watch it, just check what I'm saying. Feel free to do that. But it's not located or found on YouTube. But with that, we're going to get started. So with this 2024 prophetic word, she encourages people at the beginning to take it to scripture. Now I want to say this during this video. There are things that Jenny says that I agree with. There are things, lots of things that she says I do not agree with. There are things she says I used to agree with because I was part of this belief system. I was not part of core group, but the belief system that she holds to, I was a part of, which is the New Apostolic Reformation, believing that there are modern day apostles and prophets today with governing authority. And I want to also talk about that as well in this because I find that it is also vital and necessary and applicable to this video. But she tells people, as she should do, to take the word that she says to scripture and to test it. So though that sounds really good, what soon follows after that is what was troubling that I want to bring you back to at the end of this video, because it's worth repeating. She said this is the heaviest word that she has had to release. And she said everything she received came directly from the Holy Spirit.
Everything that I'm going to say to you today has come directly from the Holy Spirit.
She said she usually gives an encouraging word at the beginning of each year. And this time she was led to give a strong corrective word to the body of Christ. And so normally she ministers to her students on Tuesday nights. But according to Jenny, the Lord instructed her himself to minister this to everyone. This is to all those who are believers or professing believers. And she makes it clear this is not for unbelievers.
This message is also to those who say that they are his, but have found to be false. And God has given me a warning to the wolves. And I saw you watching. And I actually saw you watching multiple voices and multiple lives over course of years. And you are drawn to listening to the pure voices. And the reason why you are here probably now is, and what I saw the Lord showing me was this, that there was a mimicking spirit. You are here listening because you like to pick up on how pure voices sound, the different things. You study them and you mimic them so that you can later deceive the people. And you just so happen to be watching.
Now, one thing I want to say up front that needs to be remembered here. You need to keep this in mind. Because some people, and especially those that are listening that may be part of the core group, that may be proponents of Jenny's ministry, this is not an attack on Jenny. As I've said multiple times when I've done other videos on other people, this is not an attack on her. It is not a personal attack. You're not going to hear me say ad hominem things about her that are going to attack her in a malicious way. You're not going to hear me make some slanderous remarks about her in any way, shape, or fashion that has anything to do with anything outside of what she's ministering. But you might find what I say offensive. And I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to bring you back to the truth of Scripture. And I want to remind you of something here that I think is very important, that it's valid and in context. Jenny believes herself to be an apostle. Now, she doesn't say that on this video, but she believes herself to be one because the man that she's under, her spiritual father, who was my former leader, Ryan Lestrange, he believes himself to be an apostle, and he commissioned her as an apostle not too long ago in a public service. I actually addressed this in another video, as well as addressing things with Catherine Crick, who believes herself to be an apostle. And if you're interested, I'll have the link to that video in the description below in this video. But we'll stick to this topic today. She believes herself to be an apostle. So you must remember that. And these that are in this movement that believe they're apostles, they believe they have governing authority. So that's why she's delivering this message for one thing. She believes not only that God spoke to her, but though she doesn't say it in this video, she goes by apostle, Apostle Jenny Weaver. And I say big A apostle also. So what we'll see as we watch is that she says the Lord told her to give this word to everyone. And those with ears to hear would hear the word of the Lord.
For the Lord said, speak to all the people. Those that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying.
And when praying, she states that people would hear a thus saith the Lord. So you can hear this right now for yourself.
And I thank you, God, that your people would hear, thus saith the Lord tonight.
So given what we just heard and given what she has said, are we permitted to test and to judge this word? She's already stated that we should take this word, those that are listening, we should take this word to Scripture, which is the final authority. This is God speaking. For certain, as I've said. But then she follows it up with saying, affirming. But then she follows it up with affirming that this is indeed the word of the Lord. So are we allowed to test it and judge it? Are her words on par with Scripture? If a statement is made that it is given directly from the Holy Spirit, how is this not on par with Scripture? The Bible is God-breathed. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. How is it that she is saying anything different than what we know to be the God's breathed, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God? I would also like to say that when the statement is made to test it with Scripture, I question whether that is truly welcome. And the reason being is because I spent time in this movement and I know how this works. And people that begin to test and to question, they're called Pharisees, they're called hypercritics, they're called having a religious spirit, that they don't have the Holy Spirit, that they're quenching the Holy Spirit. So testing is not welcome by many of these individuals in this movement. Furthermore, she has validation from her leaders. She has their approval. And so anyone who would judge this word to not be from the Lord is going to be called a Pharisee or opposing her, touching the Lord's anointed, you name it. And she also instructed some of the women, as you may have just heard, from the core group who have the scribe anointing. And in case those that don't know what that is, the scribe anointing are those that are gifted to write. So those with the scribe anointing, she calls for them to write down the word of the Lord.
I would ask if there is a scribe, like somebody that is a part of the core group that has that scribe anointing, please be prepared to possibly put some of these things, to writing. That way I can reshare them with people that want to, hold on to this word.
I just have a question. What is that called when you write down what God is directly saying? I think that's called Scripture. It hit me very heavy even hearing that and realizing, once again, God speaks authoritatively. And when we assign and ascribe things and saying God said them, then that's a serious matter. And I hope that she's considering that, because she's claiming that God told her these things. And that's a serious thing to say. It's a serious matter when you say that God told you something, because then people are obligated to obey it. Now, she tells the people to pray and to ask the Holy Spirit for understanding and for God to speak to them as she prepares to release this word. And that the word for this year is to return to the fear of the Lord.
The word of the Lord for 2024 is that there will be the return of the fear of the Lord.
She says the shaking will intensify and it will be noisy. It will look chaotic.
The shaking will intensify. Intensify, says the Lord. The shaking will be noisy. I could say there's a shaking coming, but the Lord told me to say it this way. The shaking will intensify. Why? Because it's already been shaking. He's already been shaking us up. Again, it will be noisy. It will even look chaotic.
And some will say it is demonic. She says this is the shaking of the Lord.
Some will say the shaking is even demonic, but the shaking has not been initiated by the devil. This shaking is the Lord's doing.
And she says some areas will be so intense that it will create a massive split.
The shake will be so intense in some places, ministries, and areas of the church, it will create a massive split. This is what I saw. The very ground will shake so violently, many will actually fall down. They will fall because of the shaking. But there will be those who will actually find their footing. They will find their balance when the shaking happens. It's like they mastered it. And they found this because they found the best place to be, and that is firmly planted on the rock. I feel the Lord.
She said that the Lord has said enough is enough. And even in this video, she said, there were people that, there were some of you that said enough is enough last year. And she said, the Lord is now saying himself, enough is enough. And she said, that's a different story. She references earthquakes that have happened in Queens, New York, and California, because others, when they hear her say shaking, they're thinking, oh, these earthquakes are confirmation of her word, that there's a shaking. Which, let me also say this. I prophesied before, when I was in this movement, that there was a shaking that was taking place, and referencing Hebrews 12. And this is not a new word. This is not a new word that she's saying about the shaking. And even some of the things that she says as we go on, you're going to hear some others say similar things but different wording. And what I mean is there's going to be this divide between those that are following God and those that are not. And we're going to see who she thinks are the ones that aren't following God. And there's going to be people she lumps in there. If I can spoil it for you now, that she doesn't believe we're following God, and it's not a surprise really when you hear it. Now, what I found interesting when she's focusing on the earthquakes and she just says she feels the power of God, and is just moved by this when people are affirming her word, is California is one of the ones that had an earthquake recently. Now, when you look up on the website for the United States Geological Survey, they say each year that Southern California, that area has about 10,000 earthquakes a year. Most of them are very small. She says the Lord told her that there would be a split in the shaking, and that out of that split would come two priesthoods.
There will be controversy. And I saw it from this shaking. It was like the earth was just shaking, shaking, shaking. And the next thing you know, the earth breaks up and it splits. A massive split I saw coming. And I was taken to a few references in the Word that talks about this very thing. 2024, the year that we are in right now. A split is coming. Some will be on one side and some will be on the other side. Calling it the other side. This split speaks of two priesthoods. Type that in the comments. Two priesthoods will arise out of this.
Now, I want to ask you, where is this found in Scripture? I know that that's a bad thing to ask sometimes, and people don't like that being asked, as far as where is that in Scripture. But that is the question that you and I both should be asking when someone claims to hear a word from the Lord. Where is this in Scripture? She is going to tell us soon that this is found in 1 Samuel 2. But the word says nothing of the sort. And I would like to ask, why is this word necessary? Why is the fresh word for 2024 given precedence over the word of God? Now, Jenny would not agree with that, but it seems like there's an appeal to her personal private prayer time of her praying for hours on end about this and getting this revelation that is held in priority over the very word of God. It's almost even that the word of God is not being used to test her word. It's being used to automatically confirm her word and to add to and to read into what the Scripture is saying. And I'm going to come back to this division later, but for now, let's continue. So she says that the first priesthood is a cursed priesthood because of their actions and the lack of the fear of God. The second priesthood will be a faithful priesthood, ministers after God's own heart. And as you heard, she goes on to 1 Samuel 2. And she says this is that priesthood that is corrupt. She encourages people to go and to read it. So let's do that. Let's go ahead and read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 through 21. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. The custom of the priests with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and all that the fork brought up the priest would take for himself. This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give and say to the man who was sacrificing, give meat for the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." And if the man said to him, "Let them burn the fat first and then take as much as you wish," he would say, "No, you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." Thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with a linen ephod, and his mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you children by this woman for the petition she asked of the Lord." So then they would return to their home. Indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters, and the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. Now, I want to note a few things here. The comparison here that you see in these verses through 12 to 21, you see the comparison between the sinful and wicked and worthless sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, and what they were doing compared to the righteous acts of Samuel, who was walking in the ways of the Lord and wanted to know the Lord. And we see in 1 Samuel 3 that he came to know the Lord. The verse even says here that Eli's sons did not know the Lord, or even more, that the Lord did not know them. So we see this dichotomy here. We see the corrupt, sinful ways of Hophni and Phinehas. We see the more righteous ways of Samuel. We know that the scripture says Eli's sons were wicked, and that's what the worthless is referring to, and that they did not have fellowship with the Lord, but Samuel would have fellowship with the Lord. And the custom of the priests was being performed with contempt before the Lord, because they were taking more than what was instructed for them to receive. And not only that, they were taking the fat instead of obeying the orders for it to be burned, as is found in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 31. The fat was considered the best portion of the meat and was to be given to the Lord, while the right thigh was given to the priests of Aaron. They were disobeying the Lord in greed, essentially, is what was happening, and they were causing the people to disobey. You can see this when you read in Leviticus chapter 7, verses 28 through 36, regarding the sacrifices, if you would like, and it tells you how they were specifically supposed to be handled based upon the instruction from the Lord. And also, too, I want to say this. I'm merely opening my Bible and reading from it. I mean, I'm even a study Bible. I have a couple of study Bibles that I referred to and looking at the commentary and the notes. So I'm not doing anything extravagant that you can't do. Just invest in a good study Bible. You can look at these things as well, and the study notes will help you and guide you to know where to go and to what to look at and give you more of a context of what's going on here. Now, though Jenny mentions some of these things, she still takes things out of context when she's talking about it. And she's applying this account to us today and saying that the Lord showed her, based on 1 Samuel 2, that there's going to be two priesthoods, which Scripture does not say that there will be such a thing. And she talks about a split taking place and a shaking, and she's using vague and generic things to say that had been said before and recycled and regurgitated in different ways by different people. So we need to ask, is this truly a prophetic word from God? Is she authorized to say this? And again, I may reiterate this multiple times, but the fact that she is saying this is a thus saith the Lord is a serious matter that is to be taken on par with Scripture, and it is not Scripture. So we'll keep going for now. The men descended from the line of Aaron. When we look at this in even further on into this chapter in 1 Samuel 2, there was only one priesthood. This account is descriptive in nature. It's not prescriptive, yet she is reading something into the passage that is not there, and she is attempting to extrapolate an extra biblical meaning that is not there. The fact of the matter is that there is already division in the world, and we don't need Jenny's fresh revelation that she's claiming in order to know that there's division in the world. There are those who are regenerated and who are born again by grace through faith in Christ alone. And there are those who are lost, and they are not regenerated. They are dead in their sins. They are spiritually dead, and they've rejected the salvation of the Lord. That's the division that we have. Therefore, the wrath of God abides on them. But Jenny will create two priesthoods here. Rather than directly address the sin in the hearts and the actions of these men, she'll allude to it, but that's not the direct revelation that she gives. And the sin and disobedience of the people, which we also need to be aware of, with the antidote of the gospel in accordance with Scripture. That's the antidote. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what is needed today. And I'm going to make this statement as well. I never heard the gospel proclaimed in this prophetic word, not once. And the gospel is not reserved for unbelievers. The gospel is for believers, and it's for believers to proclaim to those who have ears to hear. If you want to proclaim, Jenny, a word for those that would have ears to hear what the Lord is saying, what the word of the Lord is, you need to be proclaiming the gospel. You did not proclaim the gospel in this video. And that is extremely concerning. I understand she is troubled by the corruption from leaders and lay people. And she's alluding to certain things that are going on right now from a pastor in Atlanta. And I understand that. I share the same concerns and the same frustration with such corruption, such views and such actions that are taking place in churches. That such as, I think it's Wesley Murphy is his name, and I think that's who she's alluding to. She doesn't name names, which I find that interesting. Those of us that aren't afraid to name names will name names. But she is alluding to certain things like that that are bothering her and that she finds irreverent, and I agree with her. I find those things irreverent. I find them repulsive and apprehensible and abominable. I understand she's upset and concerned about the lay people within that church, and they are certainly false converts and wolves in sheep's clothing. I would absolutely agree with that. But as you will hear later in this word, she will also mark those who speak against groups like hers and who rebut deliverance ministry and the emphasis on the full gospel, which includes signs and wonders within this group. The full gospel is viewed as, if you don't do signs and wonders, then you're not preaching the full gospel. She says that God sent a prophet to minister judgment and makes a distinction between the false priesthood and the faithful priesthood. But I would like to know why she skipped verses 22 through 26. She does briefly mention them when she's talking about this, but I just want to read this to you real quick, because I think it's important to read these things in context. Verse 22 says, "Now Eli was very old, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting," which were prostitutes, by the way. "And he said to them, 'Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all these people. No, my sons, it is no good report that I hear the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?' But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the Lord to put them to death. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man." So again, we see this dichotomy here, this comparison between the wicked sons of Eli and the righteousness of Samuel. Jenny goes on to say that God is going to address the idolatry in the church, and that she warns church leaders to stop being soft on sin.
God is coming to deal with the idolatry. How dare you put anybody, any ministry, any person, anything above the word of God. I don't care how much you like them.
She says those who do not listen will have their lampstand removed, as stated in the book of Revelation, and that they will be marked a place where the glory has departed, which the term for that is Ichabod, in case you're wondering, or maybe you've heard that before. So my question would be, if you're going to issue and say the Lord told you that God is dealing with idolatry in the church, I would think that you'd want to go to scripture for that, would you not? Because if this word is necessary, has the Bible not warned and rebuked against idolatry? Why not read scripture? Why not read from scripture what it says about sin, what it says about idolatry? Is this word that she gives needed? Because we have all that we need to understand for living a life of godliness and holiness before God. Why do we need this additional word? Scripture makes it clear, even Peter, that we have what we need from the word to live a life of godliness. We don't need this word. So her warning should be going back to scripture and referencing things that Paul talked about with idolatry in the epistles, going back to the reference of the Old Testament to show how they committed spiritual adultery against God in their idolatrous acts, and again, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. She goes to verse 29. She talks about the priest using a three-pronged fork, but this was not the instruction in scripture, by the way. I would encourage you to go back to Leviticus 7, as I mentioned. This was likely a pagan practice. When you look into this and look in study Bibles, they talk about this, that it was pagan practice mixed in with their sacrifices, and it may have come from Shiloh. And Shiloh is mentioned in the verses 12 through 21 that we read earlier. Let's also not forget, as she goes, she will continue the reference of this abuse of sacrifice in light of things today, such as tithing and to stop stealing from God's people. I would agree with that in more ways than one when taking advantage of people and their finances, such as offering webinars and e-courses on how to hear God's voice and how to cast out demons, or maybe charging people for discipleship. I mean, I could make the argument that that's taking advantage of people. But I could be wrong. We need to remember that Jesus is the fulfillment of every sacrifice offered in the Old Testament. And that's what we need to be pointing back. And that's who we need to be pointing people back to when we're going to scripture, because the Bible is Christ-centered. It's not man-centered. It's not Dawn-centered. It's not Jenny-centered. And I know that she expresses that she doesn't want to be exalted and revered, that she wants to follow Jesus. There's some things that she says in there that sound sincere, but at the same time, sincerity is not what is measured as truth. What is measured as truth is what we are saying according to what God's word has already spoken, and that we're testifying of the truth. And I don't know her heart. You know, I can't judge her heart. what we are to do is test the fruit that we see coming that seems to be coming from her heart. And so we are to test that as believers. We are to judge with righteous judgment. And every burnt offering, peace offering, sin offering, Passover lamb, all of those offerings point back to Christ. And he has fulfilled those offerings. Every offering has been fulfilled in the ultimate Passover lamb being slain for sin and taking upon him the judgment and the wrath we all deserve. The power of his sacrifice and his resurrection are found in the finished work of Christ, what he did on the cross. There seems to be quite a bit of projection when she's talking, when she's referencing people building their own empires, and that there's going to be those things that will fall when people are relying on their own abilities and building their own things and doing their own things. And the word she releases has some bits of truth to it, as I said, and concern in it. But she has placed her prophetic word, and I'll say it again, she's placed her prophetic word on par with Scripture. And this gives the perception that the written word of God is just simply not sufficient and enough for us to know what to do in such matters, in such times, in such things. It gives the impression that the Holy Spirit is not strong enough to minister through the people of God and to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is for all believers to do. And that gospel is in accordance with Scripture, nothing more and nothing less. She says that judgment begins in the house of God, and that's according to Peter and what he says, and that's certainly true. And she issues a warning and a rebuke to lay people who have held back and not done as the Lord instructed in doing things or helping others. She says that three judgments came and that these continue today, and you'll get to hear them right now.
So because of this, three judgments came, and you can read it for yourself, and it's still happening to this day, and I'm going to tell you why. The word of the Lord said, because of this, you will become lightly esteemed. That's what it says. It says, but now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. That means the favor of God is removed. That means the power of God. That means that influence. That means that everything that you had when it came to being trusted by God and God pouring out on you and him highly esteeming you, no more, you will be lightly esteemed, like nothing. Can you imagine that? This is not a game. Some people will listen to this and they'll be like, this is too much, and they'll go off. They're already too far gone. Scary and dangerous. You will lose, what he's saying here with this, you'll be lightly esteemed, you'll lose that real authority, that real influence. The people that are full of idolatry, they might still esteem you. That's why the page can still grow and people over there doing straight up divination. Because the people have esteemed you, but God has not esteemed you anymore. He no longer is dealing with you. He's turned you over to your own ways. And then the next one came in, the next judgment came in, and it says, you'll see distress, another version says, you'll see an enemy in my dwelling, in spite of all that I do good in Israel. What does this mean? God will pass you by with revival, but you're going to see it in another camp. You're going to look online and see it. You're going to be like, wow, there's revival springing up there. Wow, they're over there having a move of God. Wow, look what's going on over there. Look at all these mission trips. Look at it. And even though God's doing good in the church, it won't be in your house. It won't be in your church. It won't be in your ministry. You go, wow, God's growing this person. And I mean, they're just getting poured out on. The Spirit of God is moving, miracles, signs, wonders, salvations, repentance. It's just mind-blowing. And you will be sitting in the house of God in church, and he will pass you by. He says, you'll see distress and an enemy in spite of all the good that I do in Israel. God. And then it says, the third judgment, there's three judgments that will be poured out. All the increase of your house will die out in the prime of life. Y'all, this is very serious. I want you to please hear. The word of the Lord came and said, all of your increase of your house will die in the prime of life. Now, of course, in this passage, this physically happened to many of the priests at this time. They physically died. But I believe right now the Lord wants to, it's speaking of spiritual things, that you'll be able to get this far in ministry, at the height of ministry, when everybody is seeing you build, build, build. Wow, it's just so beautiful. Look at all your members. Look at all of this. Look at all of that. You lost the fear of the Lord, and you'll be cut off in the prime of it.
She said that people will build empires, and they will crash. She says, this is the word of the Lord, and this is not a game. And there's a lot of emotion, and I understand that. There's a lot of emotion that she has when she's doing this.
And then the word of the Lord came in the same scripture, and he says, this is terrifying. This is what's happening. He says, yet I will not cut off every man of yours from the altar, so your eyes may fail from weeping and your soul will grieve. What does that mean? He says, I'm going to do this to this evil priesthood, but I'm not going to kill them all off. I'm going to let some of them still be in the pulpit so that you'll look at it and you'll be grieved, so that you'll look at it and you'll weep. This is for those that are not walking with God. These are for those that are lukewarm. These are for those that are compromised. These are for those that have allowed in mixture. And these are for those that play around and have all these idols and don't take God seriously. He says, I'm going to leave some of these false ministers, this false priesthood. They're going to occupy the altar, you know, the pulpit, the house of God, until Jesus returns. So for those of you that are saying God's going to come and he's going to clean house, he's going to get them all out, he's going to wipe it all clean, we're going to have massive revival. No, according to this, the Lord is going to still allow some of these false ones going their own way and building their own thing. And people with low and little discernment, they won't even know the difference. They'll just see there will be a rise of false salvations. They're not real. They haven't counted the cost. They only raise their hand in an emotionally driven state. After being rocked to sleep by mixture and witchcraft and perversion, sure, I'll raise my hand and say, Jesus, come into my heart and change me, make, you know, yeah. No. He says, but they did not deny themselves, and they did not pick up their cross, and they did not follow me. Therefore, I will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. I don't know you. And now we live in a day and age where any kind of correction is seen as being religious, strict, or mean. Oh my gosh, where have we gone? No, no. We need the fear of the Lord. Any place that does not host the fear of God, you will be bypassed by anything supernatural, any miracles, wonders, the true ones, the true miracles and wonders, not the made up fake divination stuff.
She's emphasizing in here, she's making a strong emphasis that it's not a game and that this is indeed the word of the Lord. Again, when you hear the terms, the word of the Lord, what do you immediately think of? I'll let you ponder that. Now we come to the second priesthood. So she's talking about the first priesthood that's cursed, that is defiled based upon the Lord, the word of the Lord, and what they've done and their actions. So now we come to the second priesthood. And this is the second priesthood is rising based on her revelation of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35.
Here is the word of the Lord about the second priesthood that I saw arising. There is a righteous priesthood that is also arising. Glory to God. Verse 35 says, then I will raise up for myself, says the Lord, a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and who will do what is according in my soul. And I will build him an enduring house and he will walk before my anointed always. Woo, Jesus. The priesthood remains today, but is now increasing. Some of you on here, this is what the Lord is declaring over you. He is looking at you in your life. I know you mess up a little bit, but you're running to God. You're trying to stay at his feet. You're repenting. You're not in arrogance thinking that you're always right. You're broken and contrite before the Lord. You are this pure priesthood. You are the one that has God's own heart, what he wants in your heart. You are the pure priesthood.
This is a righteous priesthood, she says. And she says, it is the people today. She also talks about Zadok the priest, which came into his position during the reign of David, and then he continued on with Solomon. And some scholars view Zadok coming into that priesthood as the fulfillment of this prophecy in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. And his accession reestablished the office of the high priest in the line of Eleazar and Phinehas during the reign of Solomon. And this is stated again in one of my study Bibles. So I'm not telling you anything that you can't find for yourself when looking at Scripture. You need to study Scripture on your own private time. And then if you still have questions, go to your pastor. Your pastor is your shepherd, and he's to help you. He's to guide you as a sheep. He's to help to guide you in a way to bring you back to the truth of the Word of God. And that's why you need a biblically sound pastor, because you can't pastor yourself. He says that Zadok served David, which he did, and it was because Zadok saw the anointing on David's life. And meanwhile, she says Saul lost the Spirit of God and that he was a dead, dry ministry going through the motions. So again, reading into the text, and she's equating it to those today that she views as dead and dry. She said Saul represents those where the glory has departed through dishonor and disobedience. And I'm sure I would fall into that camp according to what Jenny believes. She says that Zadok went where the Spirit of God was, and this is where she sees the vision for the church. So let's listen to that right now about finding God's glory.
I saw the shaking coming to the church. I saw a massive split. I saw a season of the people scattered. And eventually, many of them, that just so happened to be the remnant, finding houses of glory. There will be a search, a massive search. Where's God's glory? Where's God's glory? Churches will see a lot of visitors popping in, popping out, popping in, popping out. What are they looking for? What are the people stirring for? Why are they walking all around? Why do they seem like they're not planted? Because they have been shaken up out of these dead, dry things. These places that don't want to do deliverance. Places that don't want to pray for the sick. Places that don't want to have strong word and repentance and salvation and holiness and righteousness. They're shaking out of these places. Why? Because the return of the fear of God is coming to his people again. And you don't need to be in a church service to get the fear of God. God's going to start waking people up in their bedroom. God's going to start dropping dreams into your spirit, man. And you are going to wake up carrying the reverential fear of God. This shaking and the split will bring the true fear of the Lord. For many, there will be a massive exodus from hype-only ministries. Hype, 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 hype. Excitement, excitement. Confetti. Big, you have to have big productions. Listen, I'm all for big productions, but they better be Holy Ghost filled. Just nonsense in the house of God. Just straight stupidity. I said it. It is straight stupidity. And that's why you're going to start losing people left and right. That's why some of you right now, you're like, I need to find a place where God's spirit is, his presence is, his word is emphasized. And there's an importance on it. Okay.
She addresses those who have isolated during 2020, and they have forsaken the gathering of the assembly. Now, again, there's things that she says that I would agree with, that we are not to forsake the gathering of the assembly according to Hebrews 9. But again, just because I agree with some of those statements doesn't mean that I believe that her word is a prophetic word from the Lord that I am to obey. I'm to obey scripture, and her word is not scripture. I would agree, and let me say, she would not say that her word is scripture, but she needs to consider the fact of her, the words that she used. She needs to provide clarity on them. And if she believes that this is the thus saith the Lord, and this is the word of the Lord, then she's putting her words on par with scripture. And that is dangerous to do. Going back to the topic of not forsaking the gathering of the assembly, I agree. We need to be part of a local church. We are told to do that. We're instructed and commanded. If we love the Lord, we love the body of Christ, we are not supposed to isolate ourselves. Now, we'll say this. I have talked to some women that during the pandemic of 2020 and on into 2021, there were some women that the Lord, in his sovereignty and his grace, pulled out of some false teaching because they were no longer under the influence of all the lights and the hype and everything. And when they were able to see services online and to actually take a look at the teaching, God graciously granted them the ability to see the truth and to hear the truth according to the word of God and to discern properly. So there were some good things that came out of that, but I still encourage you to be a part of a local church. She goes to 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 39 and 40 to affirm her word of the split that is coming. And she focuses on the sound of revival rising up today and even encountering those who will not bow to Baal when they do not even speak. So there's this focus sometimes in this movement that you'll carry such a heavy anointing that you don't even have to say a word and people will fall over and they'll be just moved by the power of God working through you. And I guess the question is, who's the one that's being elevated here, exalted here? Again, this is coming from someone that used to believe these things. I used to teach these things. I held tightly and firmly to these things. So I'm not saying these things in a way of not understanding. I'm saying them in such a way that when you begin to understand the error, then you want to say something. She says that with the rise of the priest is the rise of the fathers in the household. So she gives other words in addition to this. There's several words that she spoke during this hour and a half time that she did on Facebook. She says, we're about to see the rise of the men. She said, oh, don't worry, women. We're still rising. We've been rising and we're going to continue to. In fact, she says that mothers are sounding the alarm and raising up secret weapons based on the account in 1 Kings 1 with Bathsheba before David regarding Adonijah and Solomon. And she says the return of the fear of the Lord is the last half of the word that she is releasing. And she has pages of notes, as you saw in one of the clips.
So the fear of the Lord is returning to the church. It is absolutely returning to the church. This is my very last page. This is it. This is it. This is all I got.
She says many do not have the fear of the Lord. And she uses the account of David bringing the ark into Jerusalem the first time. And Uzzah tried to steady the ark. I'm sure many of you remember that account. Uzzah died because of what he did. And it was because David did not obey the instructions on how to carry the ark. And when he went back to the Word of God, he saw that those were the instructions on how to carry the ark. She equates this to having announcements first in services. So this whole story of coming back to the fear of the Lord and using the story, the account of David trying to carry the ark into Jerusalem the first time and doing it incorrectly, she equates this to having announcements first in services, to coming in late to services, to using iPads and devices for kids during church services. Now, this is a personal thing, but I would agree with the iPad and device thing as far as church is concerned. It's a personal conviction. I don't want my kids having a device put in their faces when they're at church. I want them to learn the reverence and fear of the Lord. I want them to learn the Word of God. I want them to reverence God when we're in corporate gathering together, lifting up the songs to the Lord, hearing His Word. I want to have that something that's a priority in their life. So, again, something I would agree with her on, but she's chastising people, again, in a way that kind of like beating the sheep, if you will. She says that churches and homes are about to be audited and houses will be marked because they do not fear God. And she uses Exodus chapter 20, verse 27 to reference this about the churches and the homes being audited.
Houses of God and your house, Christian homes, they are about to be audited. Audited, is that the word? Spiritually. Spiritually audited. Surveyed in the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. Whew. Where there is no fear of the Lord, these houses will then be marked. You will be marked. Heaven will look down and say, that one's marked, this one's marked. Because there is no fear of God anymore.
And those that God marks, the houses will be marked, the churches will be marked. And they will have Ichabod written over them. The fear of the Lord will produce extreme obedience, she said. She said the word that she gave last year for 2024 was extreme obedience. She says it's extreme obedience part two.
The fear of the Lord is going to produce extreme obedience part two. The fear of the Lord is going to produce extreme obedience. When you truly have the fear of the Lord in your life, you will obey God and you won't have to pray it out. Some of you have been praying, but you have not been obeying. Oh, let me say that again. You have been praying and the prayer, alleged prayer, has actually become an excuse to procrastinate in obeying. I just need a little bit more time to pray about it. God said to do it. Well, I just want to make sure. I just need time to pray. I'm just praying. I'm just praying. I'm just praying. And God said to move. How long are you going to play this game? Extreme obedience. That's what we need. The return of the fear of the Lord to His people will cause them to be fully on the Lord's side. No more will we straddle the fence. Some of you are going to need to make decisions tonight. Go through your page and start unfollowing ministries that you know have compromised. Why? Because you need to keep it out of your eye gate. Keep it out of your ear gate. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
She said you need to hate what God hates and love what He loves. And I would agree. I would definitely agree, Jenny. If you see this video, and I don't know if you will, but I would agree. We need to love what God loves and we need to hate what God hates. And I would ask if God looks upon us claiming something that we said that He told us that He didn't say and that we're putting it on par with Scripture and telling people to write it down, I would ask if God really loves that or not. Or if that's diminishing the sufficiency of Scripture. I think that's a fair question to ask. And that's a question I've had to ask myself. I had to ask myself when I came out of this movement and realizing I was a false prophet in this movement under false teaching. It's a fair question to ask. She says, in case you need a word, which I found that phrasing interesting, she references people to Proverbs 8:13. And I think you need to be referencing people to the Word, which is the Word of God, not your prophetic revelation. She talks about having sin in your life and that you need to get it out so that you don't go to hell. Now, she's talking about certain examples such as lifestyles such as homosexuality and other things like that when she references this and even gossip and such. And when she says, you know, you need to get the sin out of your life so you don't go to hell. I think I kind of understand what she's trying to say, but I just want to say this because of the word choices that she made. Let me say up front that I listened to this entire video. I listened to it twice, as I normally make a practice of doing. And again, not once was the gospel of Jesus Christ in accordance with Scripture ministered. Not once. There may be an alluding to from, you know, remembering the nails on His hands, but there was no talk of sin. There's no talk of repentance in accordance with Scripture. The word repent is used. There was no presentation of the gospel. And I find that problematic. Because if you're going to tell people they need to get sin out of their lives so they don't go to hell, then you need to offer the solution to that. And the solution is not your fresh prophetic revelation. The solution is the gospel of Jesus Christ. She said this video was for believers only, yet she addressed false converts. And those are not believers. The gospel is for the church to hear and for the unbelievers to hear so that they would know the good news to their bad news. And if you want to talk about obeying God, then why was the gospel not proclaimed in this opportunity? You cannot get sin out of your life in your own doing. I don't think Jenny believes that, but her statement makes it seem as if you are able to kill sin on your own. And the fact of the matter is, you cannot kill sin without the Holy Spirit who abides in you. He abides in those who are regenerated and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And I would refer you to Romans 8:13, and I would refer you to Romans 10. Read Romans 10 because it talks about the proclamation of the gospel. People cannot come to saving faith in Christ unless the gospel is preached or proclaimed. And sadly, it was not in this video. And that's a prophetic word that everybody needs to hear. It's a certain prophetic word. It's foretelling of Jesus Christ. If all that is told to people is that you need to get the sin out of your life, then they are not, and they are not pointed back to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the hope of salvation and his righteousness that cleanses us from our unrighteousness. And if believers are not instructed in sanctification according to scripture, then all that has taken place is giving the law. And the law is a mirror. We need to know what the law says. The law is a mirror to show our need for Christ, to show our need for salvation, and that we are unable to fulfill the law. The law reveals God's standards, and it reveals his nature. And it reveals what God requires, and that's perfection. And so when we are just given the law, we can get into despair because then it's based on what we do. But the good news is that Christ fulfilled the law and the words of the prophets. He fulfilled both. And now those who are born again, who have been saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, now written on the hearts of God's people is his word, his law. And it contains his statutes. And we are given new hearts, so that our desires change to obey him. And so now as born-again believers, our hearts have been changed from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, and our hearts have his word written on it. His law is written on it. His statutes are written on it. And now that we are given new hearts, our desires change, and that we desire to obey him, though we do not do this perfectly. And anyone who tells you that they are obeying God completely is lying to you. Believers sinless. They are not sinless. So I hope that that's helpful to understand that. Jenny continues on to talk about having a high emphasis on the Word of God in 2024 and a Bible revival.
There needs to be a high importance on the Word. And I heard the Lord say, for the places that put a high reverence on prayer and my Word, I will bless them with revival. And my presence will remain on their house and on them. Those that prioritize prayer and the word will receive the blessing of revival. And it will be in the hearts of people. It's not like a 3-day service that we had. It'll be steady in them. They are carriers of this revival.
She says the Lord told her that places where an emphasis is placed on prayer and the word is where revival will hit. And his presence will abide on them. And that there will be a makeover of the church. She expresses that she does not want to put others above God, because he is worthy of it all. And there are things I would agree on. Again, as I said, I want to just emphasize that a little bit. There are things I would agree on because I don't want people thinking I'm just coming on here to bash or to do that. I'm not. Again, this is looking at the prophetic word. We have every right as believers to judge the prophetic word. And if there's a problem judging this prophetic word, as she told us to take it back to scripture, then the call to judge it is insincere and disingenuous. Just because, again, I agree with some of her statements or her opinions about things does not mean I agree that this is a prophetic word. And furthermore, what's even more important, it's not what I think. It's what scripture says. And there's no need for this fresh revelation that she's giving. We have scripture and it's sufficient. She talks about food shortages that are coming and taking communion regularly because it is important to remember the finished work of Jesus and the promise of healing in our bodies. And I want to ask you something. Is this what communion points us toward? That we are promised physical healing now, or does it remind us of our Lord's sacrifice on the cross for our sins against a holy God and the blood that has cleansed us from all unrighteousness? Does it bring you hope and joy to know that we have the promise of eternal life because of his resurrection, and that when taking communion in a fallen world, we have eternal promises that bring us peace and comfort in Christ Jesus? Even though we don't see the fulfillment of those promises yet, we hold to them. That should bring you comfort and peace and joy in this world. She says that this is a year to plead the blood of Jesus and to run from leaders who tell you otherwise. And as a born-again child of God, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, I will tell you otherwise. She said this is a year of the revelation of God, citing Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. She also cries out for the evangelists to come, that it is time for them. And again, we are all called to evangelize. This is not just for a specific group of people. We are told as believers that we are to proclaim the gospel. She gives more prophetic words at the end about moves of God in Texas and California and other things. And I wanted to focus on the main reference in 1 Samuel 2. She even references that there's going to be a person that rises up in Los Angeles that's going to be like another John the Baptist. Again, there's no need for another John the Baptist. There was only one, and he already prepared the way for the Lord. And so who do we listen to now? The final prophet that we have based on the scripture of Hebrews 1 is Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment. He is the final prophet, priest, and king. And we have no need of these fresh revelations today. Now, to end this, I wanted to go back to what she said at the beginning, because I believe that this is a serious matter. The fact that Jenny states in this video, and this video is seen by close to 200,000 people now, the fact that she has stated to people in this video, this is the word of the Lord. She prayed, God, don't let me say anything that doesn't come from you. When people hear this, let them hear, thus saith the Lord. When she says the Holy Spirit gave this word to her directly, when she tells and instructs women in her core group to write this word down with a scribe anointing, to write it down so that other people can read it and be encouraged by it, she is making scripture. And that is not something I would say lightly, but she is forming everything that looks like scripture here. And it's not scripture. And I want her to be aware of this, because this is serious error. I'm concerned for Jenny. I'm concerned for those who follow her. This was a public word. It was not a private matter. This is a public word, a public prophecy that she gave. And to speak for God and to place your words on par with scripture indicates a lack of fear and reverence for God, which is the irony of this. We need to return to the fear of the Lord, and we need to return to the scriptures, to his word in the right context, and return to the sufficiency of God's word. And to have that reverential fear of when we say God told us something, to realize what that means. The fact of the matter is that we are obligated to obey God's word. And when Jenny is speaking on behalf of God, that is making something to where people are obligated to obey it. And Jenny would likely deny this being on par with scripture. But when you say to hear the word of the Lord, this is what is said of scripture. In fact, Sunday morning, one of the elders, when he got up in the church to read at our church that we attend locally, he said, this is the word of the Lord, and proceeded to read from the book of Romans. That is scripture. He read from the word of God. He did not deliver a fresh revelation from the Lord that he received in his prayer closet or anything like that. He read from scripture. If you believe your words are God speaking, and you tell people to write them down, then you might as well just pull out a three-ring binder, put the Old Testament, New Testament in it, and we'll just add your pages to the back behind Revelation. And though I understand emotion and zeal about sin and evil and things pertaining to God, hype, emotion, background music does not save people. It does not change the anointing. It does not usher in anything different. It does not create an atmosphere for God to do something, for the Holy Spirit to move. And what you win people with, you will have to do to keep them. Extra biblical words are not necessary. The gospel is sufficient to proclaim, and it is powerful enough to save people and to change hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And some will say, well, scripture was used and proclaimed, and it has to be truth because she said it. In fact, she even told them, if someone brings a prophetic word for 2024 and they don't direct you back to scripture, she says you need to run away from that person or not listen to them. And though there could be there's partial truth in that, you also have to understand that there are other people that use scripture, such as Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and other people. And they also, Mormons believe in prophecy. So if they bring scripture, does that mean that we should listen to them? I would say no, we do not. So we need to be looking for people that are proclaiming the word of God, the written word of God, because that's what we need. I would say this too, as far as using scripture. Scripture out of context is not honoring God. It's not reverential to God. Extra-biblical revelation taking priority and then following it with a descriptive account does not honor God. And using scripture as a tool to validate your prophetic word or affirm it and then read into the text does not honor God. And as I said several times, there were things that Jenny said I agree with. I agree we should not forsake the gathering of the assembly. We need to be aware of occupying kids and services with electronic devices, or in general, we need to be spending time with our children. And we've all been guilty of that. Anybody, again, who says they haven't is lying to you. I've been guilty of it and convicted by it. I don't want my children on devices all the time. I need to remember, I don't want to just sit them in front of a device no matter where I am. I want to spend quality time with them. We need to teach our children about the Lord and about the Word of God in the right way. We need the fear of the Lord. I agree. And we need to obey God. I agree. We need to get back to the Word of God, rightly understood and rightly divided. I agree. We need proper biblical discernment. I agree that the deception is indeed getting worse, and it will get worse. I agree with Jenny, that false teachers will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived themselves. And I agree that there are false converts and false salvations. She talked about all these things in that video, and I agree with them. There are false converts and false salvations. But as for her prophetic word, it does not agree with the account of Scripture. It appeals to her private revelation given to her from God as an apostle. And we are not obligated to listen to her. As for what Scripture says about the fear of the Lord, there is a more sure word that we are to heed, and that is Scripture. And as a courtesy and being gracious to Jenny, even though I strongly disagree with what she's doing, and I have great concerns about the prophecy here that it's not from God and the claim to authority in it, I'm going to let Jenny have the final words here on this video. And I found this clip in the video very relevant. And again, I hope that you find this video helpful. And I look forward to seeing you again on here. Have a blessed day.
If you're watching this and you still have breath in your lungs and you still have a good ministry and you're not totally gone, then this is a message not of meanness, but of mercy. And God's mercy will send someone to say, stop, you're going the wrong way. You better turn around now and go back, or you will fall off this cliff.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Contending for the Word. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show and rate us wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to also like, subscribe, and follow Servants of Grace on Facebook, Instagram, or X. We appreciate your support.